Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us and join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That's 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issue that we're speaking of and speaking on each day. The program is designed around you, our listener. Q&A, we'd love to have your comments, your discussion, your questions are valuable to us, your discussion on the issue. As you ask questions, we can recognize and realize that you're learning. It's inspiring, challenging, and educative for you. That's our goal and purpose. Today, we're talking about an unusual subject, the love of money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says that it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Now, there's some that think that the lack of money is the root of all evil. We're talking about that, but we're asking a question, who is Grace Shahara? S-C-H-A-R-A. Who is Grace Shahara? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing this young lady that was killed in one of the hospitals on the guise of helping her with COVID. We're going to read much of her history and her story, what her parents have gone through, and we're going to talk about Senate Bill 7014 that's before the governor for his signature. We're going to talk about our Duval delegation, legislative body, that literally slapped every Floridian in the face when they voted for Senate Bill 7014. We're going to ask you to call them. Don't want you to say shame on you, but I mean to. Don't want you to chide them, but they need to pick up the phone and call the governor's office and say, Governor, we made a mistake. We didn't even read the bill, as I found with one of the legislators. By the way, I invited Jason Fisher to come on board today and talk about and defend his position of voting for that bill. I don't know whether he will or not. He has the telephone number. He knows how to reach this broadcast. We've asked him to defend his position on that vote that is a slap in the face for every listener today. It is a bill, ladies and gentlemen, that gives carte blanche liability coverage, immunization, if you please, from any suit by any lawyer as a result of anything that the hospitals and the doctors might do under the guise of COVID. It is a bill that is onerous on the face of it, detrimental in the depth of it, and killing patients in the state of Florida. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's not just Florida. There are 29 states, Florida included, 29 states that have that liability coverage for hospitals and doctors in the medical profession. And ladies and gentlemen, it said in the bill, 7014, Senate bill, it stated in the bill that it is designed to prevent hospitals from becoming insolvent because of lawyers suing them. Well, I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. The hospitals and the doctors, the entire medical establishment, making more net profit money today than combined history of the medical profession in the United States of America. We're in deep, deep trouble when we have our legislators being bought by lobbyists, having, in fact, when this bill was first passed in 2020, according to my research on it, as I understand the limited research that's online about it, it was as a result of the insurance companies wanting the governor to pass such a bill so that they would not have to pay out insurance liability funds because of suits from attorneys against hospitals that were killing patients. This is in 29 states. It's as a result of the federal government giving blanket liability protection for the COVID jabs and for Pfizer and for all of the other pharmaceuticals that's killing people across America and around the world with their vile, deadly killer drugs. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that. And I'm concerned about where we're going in our nation. And I'm even more concerned where we're going in America with the legislators that will vote based on money rather than based on the protection of the citizens. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And I think you'll understand better why I'm saying that when we get into the heart of this dialogue and discussion today. In just a moment, we're going to introduce our very special guest to discuss this. He's been in that circle before. He understands the process. We're going to talk about what is happening with it. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we need to remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. The position that I take and I suggest that you take is what I have called in many, many years now, central biblicist position. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is the truth book. John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, he says in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to get our attention. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct our footsteps. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to illumine our pathway, ladies and gentlemen, and not some political, ideological bent. We ought not to depend on denominational dogma. We must depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That is the only source of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist, in his book 1984, the dystopian novel, pointing out where America would be in 1984. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place in our nation today. A disdain and a dissing of truth. This program is designed around truth, nothing more and nothing less. If you get upset by it, tell God. Don't tell me. If you are concerned about it, search the scripture and see. If you are concerned about it, seek truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge to you each and every day, defending the truth, even to death. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, we find the great battle taking place with nations coming against nations. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that as we come to the scripture, it tells us in advance what's going to take place. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. But ladies and gentlemen, listen up. Good, good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. It's a great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-friendly environment. They're closed on Sundays so that you can worship with your family on Sundays. Just drop by Tools for a Time at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Fill out the application, wait for an interview, and find a wonderful place of employment at Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a brief moment or two and then introduce our guest and then start taking our callers on what I think is a very profoundly concerning subject, and it should be concerning for all of us today. We're going to talk about what is taking place with the hospitals murdering patients, all for money. And I've got the evidence, I've got the facts, the details that will point out what we're saying. And many of you listening do not realize, you will think if you go to the hospital, the doctor, they're going to carry out the Hippocratic Oath and they're going to protect your life. No, 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 not today's culture. They're out for the M-O-N-E-Y, the bottom line profit margin is what they're looking for. Ladies and gentlemen, I call it murder. You can murder somebody by using a knife or a sword or a gun or a stone. as were used in the first murder in the book of Genesis, or today's murder, ladies and gentlemen, the killing is occurring under the cover of COVID care in our hospitals and medical facilities across America and around the world. Doctors and hospitals today, ladies and gentlemen, are making more money, more profit today than in history, medical history, medical world. Doctors and hospitals and all the medical care facilities are being paid bonuses of 20% from the Federal COVID Care Act, the COVID funds. Hospitals receive hundreds of millions of dollars directly from the federal funds. Not counting, ladies and gentlemen, the millions of dollars paid out by the insurance companies. Ladies and gentlemen, all of the hospitals and the doctors, what they're doing today, they're just not practicing medicine. They're simply obeying, they're following the and implementing the CDC protocol in their patient's care. CDC, ladies and gentlemen, will not allow doctors to prescribe hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin or other proven life-saving drugs. They insist on giving remdesivir, and we'll tell you why during the course of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill is a Christian, conservative, Republican, but it's in that order, Christian, conservative, Republican. Mike, delighted to have you with us today, and God bless you. Thank you for taking time out of a very busy schedule to join us on this very important broadcast day. With the information that you and I will talk about, I'm prayerful that our listeners will listen up and make decisions wisely.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. And as I was listening to your monologue, you mentioned how Representative Jason Fisher was given an invitation to come on the show and explain why he voted yes to give immunity to, or not make it more difficult to sue hospitals and healthcare providers who have wrongly provided medical care. And as you say, I agree with committed murder with their protocols. I hope Representative Fisher will come on the line and explain why he voted yes for such a dangerous bill.
Well, one of the things, Congressman Hill, that I'm in total astonishment over, and I've talked about this two or three times during the course of this week, we have Jason Fisher and Clay Yarborough, Cord Byrd, all of which voted yes on it. Aaron Bean, Senator Bean, voted yes on it. I've talked with Congressman Anthony Sabatini down in South Florida. He voted no, along with a handful of others, but it was passed by a major number in Tallahassee, placed on the desk now after reconciliation of Senate Bill 2014 and House Bill 2071. After reconciliation, then it was passed on to the governor's desk. And I'm prayerful. I've asked people to call the governor's office, 1-850-717-9337. Call the governor's office, whoever you can talk with, if you have to leave word on a voicemail. I understand the governor's received about 25,000 petitions saying veto the bill. I'm concerned about it because I'm prayerful that listeners each and every day will pick up the telephone and call the governor's office and, as I call it, blow the phone up until he understands, the governor's office understands, that we the people say no on this ill-conceived bill. Now, Congressman, let me ask you a question. If we know, and I think that you and I have read one of the same articles when we talk about the little girl who is Grace Shahara, where she was murdered in one of the hospitals, I believe it was in Wisconsin, as a result of the protocol used by the doctors in the hospital for CDC. What should we do in the state of Florida if we have such an onerous bill that gives blanket immunity for the hospitals and the doctors when they're getting more money now than they've ever made in the history of medical care, and at the same time murdering the patients because of what they get paid from the CARES funds, the CDC protocol being used, and the murder of our family and friends and fellow workers and constituents in our churches and schools? How should we respond? What you would do in relationship to that. I'm looking at an article here, Congressman. It is from the WorldNet Daily online news. It's called The Whistleblower Material. Reveals how doctors are killing COVID-19 patients in hospitals. One wife was forced to smuggle ivermectin into the hospital. And the article says, in privately recorded audio obtained by the Gateway Pundit, physician's assistant Scott Miller pleads with doctors who works in the hospital's intensive care unit, urging the health practitioners to provide a woman's critically ill husband vitamins, ivermectin, and other life-saving treatments that are withheld from COVID patients in medical facilities across America. Now, that's a pretty profound statement. It's a four-page article. It is filled with direct information that is provided by an individual family that lost a loved one as a result of that. And I am concerned about what we do in Florida. We have a total lockout by the hospitals and doctors. There's a forced mandate still in place for the mask, the diapers, to be worn on the face in every doctor's office and hospital facility. There's more security guards in most hospitals today across America than you find in prisons across our great nation. And yet, the one that we'll talk about in a moment, the father was ordered, summarily ordered out of his daughter's room with an armed security guard. How are we to respond to that? Should we just simply, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, say, well, that's the law, that's the rule, that's the regulation, they're protecting my life? Or should we search deeper and make cognitive decisions that will protect our lives and the lives of our families?
No, we should not comply, Dr. Youngblood. That is the worst thing to do. You know, in that article you mentioned of how an armed security guard came in and forced a father who he agreed that he would stay in a room with his daughter that who had Down syndrome, would not leave the room. Well, when it got to the point where they wanted to administer more drugs, which would kill his daughter, that they removed him with an armed security guard, and he left the room. Dr. Youngblood, I can't speak for that father. I can only say for myself. If I were in a room with my child, and there was an armed security guard who came in, he would have to pull his weapon on me mm-hmm. and would have to threaten me with shooting me and killing me. And I might even go even further than that and dare him to do it before I would leave my child in the hospital now, because we are seeing time and time again, not only across Florida, but across this nation, where there are people who are dying because of the protocols that these hospitals are using, which comes from the CDC, Center for Disease Control, which, by the way, is not an elected body. It's a bunch of bureaucrats who are not accountable to we the people as they should be. And the CDC is receiving their orders, what those protocols should be, from the World Health Organization, mm-hmm. an international body who should have no jurisdiction, period, in the United States. How on earth they are able to dictate to the CDC, who blindly accepts it, what the protocols should be, especially when those protocols have shown to be lethal, when they are given to patients, giving them the remdesivir, putting them on the ventilators, they know it will kill those patients. And so to do something like that intentionally is murder. That is the definition of murder. And now we have the legislative body in Florida, both the House and the Senate, overwhelmingly passing legislation which will give these doctors and healthcare providers immunity. Makes it a lot more difficult. You can still sue them, but the ability to do it is a lot more difficult to be able to win. The yes. bar has been risen in order to win a lawsuit against them so high that it would be futile to even file a lawsuit. But why they would pass legislation like that to protect these hospitals and healthcare providers and doctors from murdering their patients is beyond me.
Beyond reason, beyond understanding, beyond human comprehension. Congressman, I'm going to make a statement or two, and then I believe we have a caller on the line. We'll take that one next. But I'm looking at an article that says, and it's from this father that's done all the research. I believe it's in Wisconsin, where his six-year-old daughter with Down syndrome was murdered in the hospital. Title of this portion of his research says very clearly here, it is the love of money. Ascension Healthcare System exposed. Was the culture of pursuing money over patient care the cause of Grace's death? And it's talking about the young lady that we spoke of a moment ago. Her name is Grace, and it's speaking about her death and what caused the death and the security guard forcing the father out of the room. Her name is Grace Schaff, S-C-H-A-R-A. But here's the statistics on Ascension Hospital Systems. Revenue for 2020, $25,300,000,000. Fiscal 2021, $27,200,000,000. An increase of $1,900,000,000. Their profit in 2020 was $1,200,000,000. Profit in 2021, $5,700,000,000. An increase of $4,500,000,000, which is a 375% net profit increase. 375%. And yet I had Jason Fisher and the communication with him this morning. He said that they passed he signed the legislation because it's what the governor wanted. Well, I explained to him, we the people elect you guys to be our representatives to represent us. If we've got just simply everything that a governor, whether he's good or bad, everything that he wants, what's the point in having legislative body to vote on and debate bills? And yet the idea, in fact, it's even codified in the renewal of that legislation, which was done in 2020, and I didn't have any idea it was out there. But then now they're renewing it to go through June of 2023, and it codifies, it states that unless these criteria are met, the judge must dismiss the case. It even goes so far as telling a judge how he should rule on a case that's being brought about and guise and auspices of the immunity that's provided for the hospitals and for the doctors. Here's another line. The Love of Money is the title. Ascension Healthcare System Exposed. Cash on hand, $17 billion, 2020. Cash on hand, 2021, $26 billion. A $9 billion increase, 53% increase of cash on hand. And here's where they get the money. Federal bailout grants, they receive, this is the just one hospital system. They receive $1.8 billion federal bailout grant money. They received for the CARES bonuses, that's C-A-R-E-S, the CARES Act under COVID, by Sleepy Joe Biden and his constituents. Estimated CARES Act bonus payments, they received $8,300,000,000, a cash increase outside of their regular income. The estimated COVID death payments, $109 million. And this is the breakdown. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, whistleblower, the average CARES Act bonus is at least $100,000 per COVID patient. Every time a patient goes in the hospital, Congressman, if they can rate it as COVID, he might have a broken leg or a bullet hole through his head. If they put down COVID, it's almost immediately ching-ching $100,000. Each time they give a so-called free PCR test, they're paid for that from the CARES Act. They have an added bonus of each positive COVID diagnosis, an added bonus, another bonus of COVID admission for the hospitals. If they admit you with COVID, there's another bonus. And there's a booster bonus of 20% of over and above all that Medicare, Medicaid, and all of the hospital insurance is paid, an extra 20% if they use remdesivir. And Congressman, you and I both know remdesivir will kill a patient. I believe I have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for taking my call. I hope I can help clear up people that are listening and say, oh, my gosh, Dr. Youngblood and Congressman Hill, they're talking about my good doctor, Dr. Jones. I've had Dr. Jones for 18 years. I don't think he would be in anything like that. Well, think about what you said. It's all about the money. And to try to put it into perspective, a friend of mine was in the car business for a while, and he made the statement. He said, you know, you could make a lot of money in the car business if there was just more women. My wife took her car to get the oil changed. Then Toyota dealer told her it was dangerous to drive. It needed the front end lined up, and it needed new brakes and all these things. And I told the guy, don't touch the car. Leave the car alone. Change the oil in it. Well, think about in perspective with healthcare. Now the dealership can impound your car, keep the car, shoot you if you don't do all the things you don't need. And it's all about the money, Dr. Youngblood. And it's so good that a few people, well-educated people like yourself and Congressman Hill and Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz, see it. But the average person, I think, just say, oh, he's talking about my doctor, Dr. Jones. He'd never do anything like that. But they found out the ultimate cash cow. But Dr. Youngblood isn't the fly in the ointment. Not everybody got COVID. Not everybody was threatened to where they had absolute control. A lot of people's never had COVID. They haven't taken the jab. They're doing just fine. So they're rebelling. They're not wanting to take something they don't need. And that's really causing the people who are prospering all this stuff a problem. But the thing is, what you're saying is, when a dog's dead and the maggots are in it, finally it explodes. Won't the money pop out somewhere, like in the 2024 election? We'll see Big Pharma giving $1 zillion to the Democrats. Won't the money pop out? That's my question.
It always does. It always does. You follow the money trail, and the money trail will always lead to the real reason for the course of action that is taken. And it's my conclusion, and I have no evidence on my desk that will say this, but it's my conclusion in what I have examined in the communication with the leadership in Tallahassee. It's my assumption and understanding that we've had much in the realm of the lobbyists from the insurance industry and from the other industries that promulgated this. And as a result of that, in fact, when I talked with Jason Fisher this morning, first thing I asked was about the bill. And he said, I'm not familiar with that bill. I had to go back and check it. Not familiar with the bill. And you signed off on it. There is, I believe, follow the money trail. I believe it's the going out of the industry back in 2020 with the insurance companies wanting this kind of coverage so that they will not have to pay out claims. And secondly, I think it's because of the major mega money. In fact, I'm looking at this article that says the super additional bonus that is paid to the hospitals if the patient is mechanically ventilated, there's immediately $100,000 or more for that patient to be ventilated. And it's sure death once that's done. But, Tom, thank you so much for your call. I am thankful for you, and you keep on looking up. Lift up our heads. Our redemption draws nigh. Congressman Hill, we've got a couple of minutes for the top of the hour news break. How do you respond to what's your take on this when we understand that you can look at just one healthcare system, Ascension's healthcare system, and the, if you please, the off their record showing exactly where the money flows in and what's coming in, and they get major increase for using this. What do you say about that very quickly before we take our news break?
Dr. Youngblood, it is blood money. That's
yes.
Exactly what it is. You know, and I'd like to talk about it more after the break. I was on a board here in Pensacola of a major hospital chain, HCA, and it was amazing how when we would have our board meetings of what was important to them as opposed to we as people, as patients, what would be important to us. So I'd like to talk about that after the break. But I will say this, all this money that is being given to these hospitals for murdering their patients, where is it coming from? It is coming from us, we the people. That is taxpayers' dollars that are given to them, which proves that we pay way too much in taxes. If the government has that kind of money to give away to murder people, we are paying way too much.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dollars. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.